Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast. Kelly Kroll along with Tony Andracki as the Cubs and Mets get ready to tip it off for three here to start off the week. They just came off of a four-game sweep against the Reds in which, Tony, we saw this offense explode, really start to come into its own. I don't know if it's the Daniel Murphy effect up at the top of the lineup. It certainly hasn't hurt. But we've been seeing a lot more of what Cubs fans expect to see from this dangerous lineup. Yes, it was the Reds, but now they're going to see both Syndergaard and DeGrom in this matchup with the Mets, and then they hit the road for what is going to be a really strong test as they flip the calendar from August into September, and they want to finish that final month strong. And I think this is going to be a huge test for them here, and we'll see if that carries over what they've been doing. But so far, I would have to imagine the fans really like watching them put up 7 and 8 runs a game versus the, what was the home run stat, or do we even want to go back to that? The one solo shot for four straight games.
You're right. It's kind of no days off for the Cubs right now that Bill Belichick speak, both literally and figuratively. I mean, literally, they don't get another day off until September 13th. But figuratively, they don't get any days off because, like you said, they're facing Noah Syndergaard, Jacob DeGrom. They're facing the Atlanta A's, Mike Fultonevich, in Thursday in Atlanta. Then they go to Philly. I don't think they're going to face Arrieta as of right now. But, I mean, Philly still obviously has a good pitching staff. Aaron Nola's lined up to pitch there. And then they have Washington. They have Milwaukee. They have some tough games coming up again. And this offense, they did great against the Reds. They did great against the Tigers. I know it's two of the worst pitching staffs in baseball right now, but like those stats still count. The wins still count. The runs still count. So they feel like they have their mojo back. That's the way that Joe Maddon said it. Offensively, they have their mojo back, and that's exactly what they need at this point. So this is a really tough test coming up for them, but luckily they have really positive vibes going into everything. Even if they get shut out one by, you know, Syndergaard or DeGrom or anything else, they still have confidence they can rebound from that and move on. I don't think we're going to see another slump right away from these guys.
Well, and we jumped straight into the offense, and another plus sign, speaking of positives, is that Chris Bryant is starting his rehab assignment, and there's still no need to rush him back because of what this team is doing. So you've got a guy now who is not feeling pain, that's the biggest thing, and he's going to be able to take his time to get the timing, get the rhythm back, and who knows if he has that kind of adrenaline rush, if you will, for the last few weeks, because here he is back and healthy and wanting to contribute. I mean, you add him to this lineup now with Daniel Murphy, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Ben Zobrist, and you've got your Jason Hayward still hitting well and all that stuff. I mean, wow, what a lineup, how thick, how long that becomes then with Chris Bryant. But I feel like I need to rewind and say, hey, part of the reason the offense, yes, it's clicking, but another huge part to these wins was that we finally saw the rotation full time through with Hamels and Lester and Hendricks looking like he was in his postseason form. And then and Quintana still trending in the right direction. You're not quite sure where he stands, but and Alec Mills gave him an incredible start, which is now, as you and I have spoken before about it, going to allow them to play around with Mike Montgomery, a six-man rotation exactly when they need it. But you get the sense that when you see this rotation at its best and you're seeing the offense come together, this is where they need to be. It's just taken a series against the Reds to pull it off.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of, this is the opportunity. We don't know if it's actually going to come to fruition or not, but this is the opportunity to really go on a run like they've been talking about all year and like everybody's been waiting from. I mean, in 2016, 17, even in 15, they had this run where they played really, really good baseball for 3 weeks, 2 weeks in a row. They haven't had that this year. It's been so up and down that even when they've had a couple good games in a row or a good series or two in a row, they never really seem to put together that run. Five-game winning streak right now, and it's because of what you said. The offense is clicking, starting pitching is clicking, and the bullpen still leads the National League in ERA coming into this series with the Mets. So it's, yes, things are very good right now, and, you know, they get Montgomery back soon. Brandon Morrow still seems a little bit away, but Addison Russell's looking like he'll get healthy. The rosters are about to expand, so they'll get a guy like Terrence Gore up here to run bases and keep guys off their feet. Ben Zobrist is looking great. Kyle Schwarber's looking better. There's a lot of positives right now. And, you know, even though they're playing 23 straight games, they play 12 of those games, almost half of it, with those expanded rosters. So that gives them an opportunity where if there's a blowout, they can just throw, you know, guys like Rob Zee or Dylan Maples or Luke Farrell and not burn out the A guys in the bullpen. And then as well, you know, if Chris Bryant comes back and they're losing 9-0 or winning 9-0, take Chris Bryant out of the game, take Zobrist, put guys like Terrence Gore or David Bodie in. So they have a lot of options at their disposal right now. So everything's trending good, with the exception of we're just not sure what Brandon Morrow could give this team down the stretch.
That will be interesting to see. And also, I don't know, maybe I'm way behind on this storyline, but for all of you listening, we have talked so long about Yu Darvish, and Yu Darvish, would he be back in time? Would he be healthy in time? And there's a part of me that, yes, we listened to him talk about having relief in that finally this last MRI and the scans and the tests showed that there was an injury, and now they're shutting him down for the rest of the season. And I think there's also, I don't want to say that the guys in the clubhouse would ever say this, but there's this thought of, okay, we know what we have now, and that's really hard, I think, for a team to go into September and not know exactly from a health standpoint what they're going to have. And this team's doing it still a little bit with Chris Bryant and Brandon Morrow, like you're talking about, but when it comes to the one main frontline starter ace that they thought they were going to have, that's not going to be the case. But they're getting something in Cole Hamels that I don't think they ever expected this. I think they expected a reliable competitor. I think they expected him to be maybe better than John Lackey, but that's really all they were looking to get, was a little bit, enough to keep them in a game. I don't think they were looking for their first complete shutout of the season coming from the guy they picked up from the Rangers.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, and Hamels, being honest, you know, he probably wouldn't have expected an ERA under 0.8, you know, in his first five starts. Obviously, it's not going to keep up. That's just unsustainable. But, I mean, he's on a great run. He has such a great history, and he has a long history of postseason success as well, even against Madden's Rays when he was with the Phillies in 08. So, you know, Cole Hamels is exactly the guy they were hoping to get, and then some. You know, in the clubhouse, a good presence, and just that veteran guy that he'll eat innings, even if he doesn't have his best stuff and he's not pitching to an ERA under one, he can still keep you in games and make sure the bullpen's not, you know, spent or anything too. So, yeah, once they moved to the six-man rotation, I mean, Alec Mills really gave him something to think about. Mike Montgomery was their best starter for a while. So, really moving forward, as much as just talk about the offense and everything else, and that's how we let it off, it really is going to lie with that starting pitching staff, and Hamels is leading the way in that regard.
He's given a definite shot in the arm. We're seeing this energy. We've always heard Ben say that the last month, September, it brings its own energy. You're going to see that here as the rosters expand. But another guy that's given them that boost as well has been Daniel Murphy, and I had a chance to sit down with him and just talk about all kinds of stuff. Now that he's had a few games here in a Cubs uniform at this Wrigley Field that he loves to play at, it just where he feels and how comfortable he is within this lineup, and he had some really interesting things to say. So we'll take a quick timeout, and then we'll hear from the newest Cub and Daniel Murphy.
On the go and can't watch the Cubs game? Remember, you can live stream all NBC Sports Chicago games. Download the NBC Sports app or watch it at NBCSportsChicago.com.
Okay, so tell me what, now that you have had your handful of games here at Wrigley in your Cubs uniform, what the transition from these fans all over here calling you the Cub killer for so long, now you're the Cub thriller.
Well, Cub thriller is just another one in our lineup and with this ball club right now. From the moment I got here and that the first start that Johnny Lester had in Detroit, you know, the starting pitching's been great. Offense has been superb, I think. And I'm just excited to be here, help contribute, and it is nice to get cheered in this ballpark.
You've
said for a while it's because of the day games. You think you see the ball better in the light, but you're pretty darn good at night here too. So, I mean, really though, what is it about Wrigley that you feel like you have so much success here?
I don't know. I really wish if I could really put my finger on it, I would try to replicate it in other ballparks, you know, areas where I, you know, ballparks I don't swing the bat quite as well. But, you know, I don't know if it's just I feel comfortable here. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be in some what I would consider some really, really strong lineups that have come to this ballpark, and I'm in another one right now with the Cubs.
Speaking of that, how does this leadoff spot fit you when you look at the guys then behind you and how thick it makes the lineup?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the guys that are behind me, the lineup's really long, and my goal each day is to try to grind out pitches, work a competitive bat. That's the only thing I can really control is the process. I've said it before, I can't control base hits. I would get a lot more of them, I promise, but I can control the process and competing, you know, like a maniac out there.
When you say that, it sounds a lot like the guy we've gotten to know over the last couple years in Ben Zobrist, and I'm sure from afar, watching a guy like him, you've probably already always felt a sense of respect in his professional at-bats. What's it been like to now be alongside him a bit?
I got the best seat in the house to watch Ben. You know, he's such a professional. He has a plan every single at-bat, and, you know, just about every at-bat, he executes that plan. It doesn't necessarily mean success comes after that, but he executes a plan as a professional, and I've been able to see it from afar, up close probably about 7 times a year when we compete against each other. But to have a front row seat to that now has been fun to watch.
Was it right you said you were, before coming over here, I think I read something, Anthony Rizzo was a guy you were looking forward to watching hit in the same dugout with him? I mean,
why is that? You know, Anthony really, really grinds out plate appearances, and it seems like he's able to take his game to another level when tensions are at its highest, when the game is on the line, and I've seen that over and over again against us in the postseason last year, this year as well too, with the Nationals. I think we end up losing game one, if I'm not mistaken, and he was able to get the spark going with like a 10-12 pitch walk, and it was special to watch. I didn't love it from the other side, but I'm glad to be on the same side of that.
That's right. 13 pitches, I think that was, against a Scherzer start where he dealt the whole game, right? Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, though, because he's been the one to tell me, I don't know that there's a better guy in the game right now with runners in scoring position, period. Take us into, then, your mindset when you're at the plate, runners in scoring position. What is it you're thinking about? Why have you been so successful? That's hard to do, to come up clutch like that.
First off, humbling words from Anthony. I think second off is just having attainable goals. And an attainable goal is trying to understand what my strengths are and what the pitcher's trying to do to me to combat that. And just getting a pitch in my zone and trying to hit it as hard as I can. I call it my ace swing. You know, sometimes my ace swing may be bigger than other times, depending on how I feel in there. You know, with the understanding I may go to a two-strike approach a little bit early, a two-strike swing. But my biggest thing is just having a plan that can be executed, you know, takes away a lot of the guesswork.
Something that makes me think about is, let's take yourself back 3 or 4 years ago in the way you approached your each at-bat at the plate, and then we've kind of watched this whole power launch ankle transition happen within the game. How have you been able to kind of be the hybrid that figures out both sides and has been able to, because not most guys are one or the other kind of thing, you know what I'm saying?
I think that there's a belief that you have to, you sell out for power to hit the ball in the air. And my thing is with launch angle is it's just a measurement. It's not necessarily trying to hit the ball as high as you can. My goal each day, I never want the infielders to catch my batted balls. No ground balls, no pop-ups, and obviously strikeouts are no good either. So that leaves us with line drives, position A, and then if I miss, I want to miss in the air. Something along the lines probably of the double that I hit yesterday. I really didn't hit that ball very good, but there's only 3 guys playing in the outfield. They're a lot easier to beat than the 5 guys in the infield.
You make it so simplistic, and yet it's such a hard thing to do. But to simplify it like that, does it make it easier?
I think it makes it more attainable, because it seems like everybody in this league's throwing like a billion miles per hour now. Sometimes it's like trying to hit an aspirin, so I'm trying to make it as simple as possible in there.
Speaking of that, is this a fun series for you then? Speaking of guys who throw the ball really hard.
Yeah, Noah's going to throw it pretty hard tonight. This is an enjoyable series for me. I've had the opportunity to play them, you know, the last 2 years, 19 times a year. You know, this year I think they just finished up their series with them. So it's always an enjoyable time. I still have guys over there, relationships that I built, my family's built with the guys in New York. And so It's really good starting staff, so it should pose quite a challenge for us this week.
Is this, from having been here now long enough, you know where this team is, how they were often struggling for a little bit. It seems to have this weekend really kind of started to heat up. How much of a test, a barometer, to go up against guys like DeGrom and Syndergaard here as you move into September? How much can be taken away from a series like this?
Yeah, I think the offensive struggles just go to show that the game is so cyclical. You play 162 games a year, you're going to have ebbs and flows to every season. And it will be a good test for us to see how we can grind out pitches over the course of this series, because they've got some really elite arms they're going to be throwing at us.
Have you enjoyed the guys around you around the horn, whether it's Javi on one side or any of the others?
It's been a treat. I knew how good Javi was. I thought I knew how good Javi was competing against him, but playing next to him, he's working on a different planet. The game just moves really slow for him, and it's been a treat to watch.
How about Chicago? Have you gotten out at all?
My wife and I went and got some dinner the other night. It was awesome, and the day games, they kind of prevent a little bit of sightseeing, but we're settling in quite nicely. The organization has been awesome in helping us with the transition.
Very good. Very last question, just because I wanted to get out. The other day, David Bodie said something about how you and Brandon Kinsler have kind of come up to him in the short time you've been here and said just something to the effect of how you belong here. You've shown it, this and that. And he's like, you believe it as a player, but when a guy like Daniel Murphy steps up to you and says it, it holds so much weight. Why was that important for you? Why did you feel like you should say anything at all?
Well, I think it's always nice as a young player to hear from someone that you're going about your business the right way. And not to mention that, you just look at the production he's had in a very short amount of time in the big leagues, and he's been awesome. And not to mention the shoes that he's filling in, and he's done it such a great job. He hits the grand slam against the Nationals, which may be part of the reason why I'm sitting here right now, but it was such a professional at bat. And I've seen nothing but professional at bats from him. Great defense as well, too.
Awesome. Daniel, thank you.